Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Bloomberg News revealed today, as you've been hearing, that the hackers who targeted the HSE have said they will start to sell and publish data next Monday, unless a deal is agreed before then. This appears to be their latest attempt to pressure the government to pay a $20 million ransom. For more on this development, I'm joined from Scotland by the man who broke this story, Ryan Gallagher, an investigative reporter on the Bloomberg cybersecurity team. And we'll also get political reaction from the leader of the Labour Party, Alan Kelly, in just a moment. But Ryan Gallagher of Bloomberg, I might turn to you first of all, and you're very welcome to the programme. You had an opportunity to review some of the online communications between the hackers, the cyber hackers, and representatives of the HSE. Is that right?
Yeah, we were able to review correspondence that these hackers have been sending to basically try to extort, as you said, $20 million in return for not publishing. They've obtained a load of, I think they say, 700 gigabytes of data from the health executive, and they've been threatening to publish that if they don't receive this amount of money. And this has been ongoing now since Friday of last week, still continuing, as I'm sure you're well aware, and it caused massive disruption across Ireland in the health sector, and many hospitals not able to function as normal because of this incident.
Mm-hmm. Who do the hackers say they are, or does it say in the communication?
Yeah, they're a group. They call themselves Conti. It's C-O-N-T-I. They're believed to be a Russian organized crime group. Cybersecurity experts have labeled them Wizard Spider. They have this name Wizard Spider for these guys. They're actually one of the most prolific, they call them ransomware groups. They hack into companies and organizations. They steal all the data from the computers, and then they encrypt it so that people can't access their computers. And then they try and get people to pay money in order to unlock the computers. And this is a very lucrative enterprise for these people. They're making millions extorting companies all across the world doing this. And unfortunately, as we're seeing in this case, they don't have many limits in terms of who they will go after. You know, going after a hospital and affecting operations in this way is not something that has stopped them in their tracks. They've gone ahead and trying to extort a hospital. So, you know.
So that's how they work. And I'll ask you a little bit more about that in just a second. But in terms of the communications between the Irish side and the hackers that you've reviewed, what kind of messages have been coming from representatives of the HSE to the hackers?
Well, there hasn't been much back and forth, according to what I've seen. And I mean, there may be other channels of communication that I'm not familiar with, but the correspondence I've seen, there was just an initial back and forth asking the hackers if they had, if they could prove that they actually had obtained data from the health executive. The hackers then provided a link to download a certain number of sample files. There was about 27 files, which included patient medical records and some really sensitive details about people's like cancer treatments and stuff like that, that they provided as proof that they had actually got in and stolen this information. Then the sort of communication from the HSC side went sort of dead after that. And I think the position from the Irish government, as is the case with many governments, is that they refuse to engage and that they refuse to pay these ransoms. So, you know, the hackers have been trying to put on extra pressure, as you said at the start of your introduction, that they've been threatening now to publish these documents on Monday. Mm-hmm. So they're continuing to up the ante, but there's not been much correspondence from the Irish side as far as
the Irish ministers, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, they have been emphatic from the start, haven't they? And health chiefs here, that they won't engage in dialogue, as you say, and also that they will not pay any ransom. But the amount of data that you said the hackers said they had, is that quite sizable? 700 gigabytes of data. And what kind of information do they have, do they say?
Yeah, that's a massive amount of information, and you'd be what they claim that they have is like patient medical records, procurement records, like internal sort of payroll information. I mean, all the kinds of stuff you would just expect, like hospitals and healthcare executive to store, not just about employees but patients. So there'll be a massive trove in there of extremely sensitive information, and this is what they've been threatening to disclose. So, yeah, it's obviously very worrying for the authorities, but at the same time, they don't want to be paying the ransom because the argument is that that encourages these groups. And that is the position of most governments, that they advise not paying.
Yeah, and paying the ransom or not is quite a dilemma, isn't it? I mean, there are recent cases as well. You've mentioned that this type of nefarious activity from cyber hackers has been going on for and increasing for some time. We have the example in terms of whether to pay the ransom or not. Two examples: a Colonial Pipeline attack on the east coast of America, and also Scripps Health in San Diego. Yeah. Two different avenues there. What can you tell me about both?
Well, the Colonial case is interesting because they paid the ransom. And this company is in the east coast of America and runs a lot of the fuel across the east coast of America. And they were a couple of weeks ago shut down by one of these ransomware incidents, very similar, forced to stop pumping their fuel. And they actually decided to pay a ransom of about $4.4 million just because they argued that basically they had no option because people need fuel and it was causing a crisis across the east coast of America. So the FBI in the United States encourages that people, that organizations don't pay these ransoms, but in some situations, corporations are actually paying them huge, huge sums. I mean, the largest reported one that we've heard of is about $40 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it is quite a dilemma. Ryan Gallagher, investigative reporter with Bloomberg, thank you very much indeed for that update. And Ryan is the man who broke that story this morning. Let's get some political reaction now from Labour leader Alan Kelly. Alan, you're very welcome to the programme. Let me read you one text. A listener says, Paul and Carlo, the government must pay the ransom. Lives are at risk. Current strategy will cost much more than 20 million euro in terms of physical, psychological and monetary problems to people and the country in the long term. What do you say?
Yeah, I guess it'll cost multiples of 20 million euros, but you can't pay ransoms. This is kind of a hostage negotiation situation in a virtual world. It's a very serious situation for our country, and you know, we need to be prepared for it. If what Ryan is saying, and I've no reason to doubt what he's saying, you know, there will be a phases coming up whereby information is likely to be released in a much bigger amount than has been to date. And in that scenario, we need to prepare our country for it. And that's why I repeatedly asked, both in private meetings yesterday with government and government officials, and today of Eamon Ryan, that we set up procedures to prepare people for if their information is released.
And why not pay a ransom or negotiate a ransom that would be payable to prevent people's private information being made public?
Because you don't know who you're dealing with and you can't guarantee that they'll honour it. And besides, you shouldn't pay ransoms. It's as simple as that. If you paid it, the likelihood is they could still keep the data and still use it. You have no verification. Yeah. You have no process of knowing one way or the other.
Okay, so I do understand the logic of that. So let's jump forward to what you just referred to there. If private data, private citizen data, is released on Monday or shortly afterwards, now this could be bank details, people could be open to fraud, private data could be sold to criminals, people could be subject to identity theft, private psychiatric or counselling or medical history records could be released, leaving people vulnerable. How should or could the government prepare people for that?
Yeah, but the first point to repeat is this, is even if we paid it, they could still do that, or they could look for more. As regards, we have to make preparations as regards preparing people for this. Obviously, you have to itemise out all of those issues one by one, as regards helplines, as regards what people should do if their banking information, for instance, is put out there, as regards procedures for changing things, and basically resourcing up the various different agencies to be able to prepare for this. Obviously, we have to work very very, very closely and get the help of social media companies, for instance, because we don't want this information shared. And on top of that, we also need to ensure that the type of information that if it does go out in large scale, that the various different agencies of the state will be prepared for that and be prepared, for instance, to help people who are in a very vulnerable situation. I'm thinking of children, and we also know that TUSLA's systems are completely integrated with the HSE.
If private citizens' information is being released on Monday, will it be time to look at changing people's PPS numbers?
Everything. This is virgin territory. We've never seen. This is the biggest attack or a security issue in the state for many years. It's something we've never dealt with before. There'll be another day to look at how we ended up here. But this is virgin territory. We've never, ever dealt with something like this. I would presume, but I am concerned, I would presume that the government are working around the clock behind the scenes, preparing for the potential eventuality of next week, or dare I say, potentially some other time, where information is being released. For all we know, it could be drip-fed released over the coming days or weeks. We have to put in place an absolute plan behind the scenes to be able to deal with this scenario. This is huge risk for people across the state if this happens. And we need to prepare as best
for the state. Yeah, and we need a plan, as you say. But can I ask you very briefly, if people, and this was raised by Minister Heather Humphreys on the News at One today, the possibility or the probability of people being approached individually by cyber hackers, do you know, or are you satisfied that they individuals in the country know what to do if they do get such an approach?
Absolutely not. And it didn't take necessarily this to happen for those sort of eventualities which you've outlined there to be going on. As we all know, they're going on. We hear about scams all the time. But the scale of it here, it has an additional variable, because we know that data has gone, likely has gone. And we also know that this is very, very sensitive data. So this is at a completely different level than we've ever dealt with before. And, we obviously have to be very careful, but it would be irresponsible now if all arms of the state as regards preparing for this, all eventualities, all equations are all put out there so that the public will know. There should be information lines, there should be information available online, there should be obviously information available across organisations. All outreach should be available to be able to help people in this eventuality. We hope it doesn't happen. We pray it doesn't happen. Okay. But in that eventuality, we need to be prepared.
Final question to you. We'll have the Russian ambassador on the programme after 6 p.m. and an awful lot of experts on this programme and others have said that the hackers are harboured in Russia. What would you be saying to the Russian ambassador?
Well, obviously, if this is true, and the likelihood is that it potentially is, given the analysis that has been brought forward from multiple different sources, and I certainly don't want to get into any discussions that took place yesterday behind closed doors, because it was a private meeting, but obviously we should be asking Russian authorities to help us in whatever way possible, if they can. Obviously that's something for diplomatic affairs and for the foreign ministry in particular, Simon Coveney, but we should be looking at every avenue to try and lessen the impact of this on our state, because it is in essence an attack on our state.
Okay, Labour leader Alan Kelly, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, Ryan Gallagher of Bloomberg. We'll take a break.